Every once in a while, I give a Zazen refresher. Not exactly Zazen instruction. It's like to refresh your memory and your posture and your understanding of Zazen. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. So I have things to say, but first of all, I want to know if you have any questions. Think about it. Great.
Okay. I have a question. Did somebody have a question?
Yes,
oh, sorry.
I often don't feel how I'm sitting, and sometimes it feels like my head is drooping forward. And I just want to know if this is correct, that this notch back here should be straight line to the top of the head. Is that true?
Not.
This little
that which is not.
It's not. Maybe I'm the only one who has this particular notch. But is that right?
Well, let's see. Let's just take a look at it.
Okay.
Yeah, your posture is excellent. So you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay.
But as you say, it feels like there's a string from your head to the ceiling. From your crown of your head, being you're hanging from the ceiling by the crown of your head by a string. And so if you allow yourself to fall and dangle, twisting in the wind, so to speak, with the string from the top of your head hanging from the ceiling, and you just let everything fall, then everything will fall into place. And you don't have to worry about whether you're holding it this way or holding it that way. Zazen, you know, instruction and for posture is really simple. Very simple. It's just like you stretch your body and it feels like you're hanging, the crown of your head is attached to the ceiling. It's a string hanging with it. And you let everything fall and it all falls into place. And if you're sitting like this, it means that's not happening. If you're sitting like this, it means it's not happening. So think this way. This is all you have to do in Zazen, is to think that way. What do you do with your mind in Zazen? You think the thought of Zazen. So you're using your mind fully. You're using all the power of your mind fully. Without anything left out, it's fully possible to do one thing, and that is to hang, twisting in the wind. And all of your body will just fall into place. But if I were to correct your posture, I would put one on the side, I would put one finger on your chin, and one finger on your lower back, and I'd go, so that the two fingers line up, so to speak. And then you'd be sitting up straight. Now, if you're sitting in a chair, it's different. But maybe not. It depends on your ability. It's really hard to sit in a chair. That's the hardest thing. So I congratulate all of you who sit in chairs for your excellent practice. But if you want to hold your back straight, and you can do that, it's a good thing to do. So that you're not necessarily leaning against the back of the chair. This is why we have to be careful about how we order chairs. Because sometimes chairs look great, but they're not good for sitting. And if the chair slants backward, then it's not good for sitting. So we've ordered some of those. And some people like them, but for most people it's hard because you can't hold your back straight so easily. So you have to find your posture. You have to find the way to sit according to your necessity. Yes.
Did you want to do Paul first? Or?
No, Paul was first. You got a toothache?
I have gum surgery.
Oh.
Ooh. Sorry. Actually, a good thing. Better than not getting.
Does that answer your question or what?
I guess I wanted to hear. Maybe you did, but I'm thinking you've told me. You've said at times something about an attitude to have in your zazen. You just said, you know, pay attention to your posture 100%, and that's it. But I think I've heard you say sometimes, or I've read maybe, you know, having a benevolent attitude or an attitude of openness.
Oh yeah, you heard me say that. Soft mind. Yeah. Soft mind. Meaning, if your mind is flexible, then your body will be flexible. If your mind is stiff, your body will be stiff.
Would a synonym for soft, and that be gentle?
Gentle.
I'm not sure what soft means.
Yeah, gentle. It means flexible, basically. And
flexible mind.
Flexible. Flexible body, flexible mind. Even though you're sitting up really straight and you're twisting in the wind, you're not, there's no, there's effort in it, but it's not stiff, it's not fixed.
No.
So,
it's not rigid.
It's not rigid, right. It looks rigid, but it's not rigid. It's very flexible and soft. So that's how you can sit very comfortably, and then when zazen is over, you stand up because you're not stiff, you're not restricting yourself. So everything's like this.
Is there a good way of relating in an attitude way towards unpleasant feeling, like anxiety arising? Or anger or despair, you know, to a way of or relating to it that's better than trying to not feel it or something.
Everything comes up and everything goes. Yeah. That's the attitude. Just let everything come up and let it go. When I sit zazen, I can't feel anxiety. But if I were to feel anxiety and then sit zazen, the anxiety wouldn't be there. Or I would just let it be there. We just let everything be.
Do you think, well, something to what I do and tell me if you think this is too much, it's too contrived. If I have feelings like that arise, I try to be open to them instead of, because my tendency is to flinch away.
Yeah.
And so instead I try to be kind of open and sort of friendly to them. Like that's just, you know, a little effort in the direction of acceptance of,
well, friendly,
letting them be there.
Right. Friendly is okay, but but you're not attached to the friend.
I don't think that's an issue for it. Because they seem to change, except when I'm doing. Yeah, never mind. You've heard all.
Yeah, of course.
If you're doing it so in an insincere way, so it'll go away. It doesn't.
Yeah, but you don't want anything to go away, and you don't want anything to stay.
You really don't want it to go away.
Yeah, nothing. No pushing away and no holding on.
Yeah.
That's the whole secret of life. I do want to say that, of course, there are other things besides posture. Posture is the main thing because that's foundation. The foundation of zazen is posture. So once you have the foundation, then you can pay attention to breathing. But posture is first. And then breathing is, I think that's the hardest thing for people, excuse me, is to be aware of breath. Often I surprise people by saying, somebody, by saying, where is your breath? I don't know. You should always know. You should never be unaware of your breath. You may not be conscious of it, but when you're asked that question, you should know where the breath is. You should be able to point to it. Well, yes, I always breathe air. Sometimes I breathe air, but only when I'm anxious or when I'm scared or something like that. Because when the breath is up here, then you're not sending enough oxygen to your body. So people sometimes say, sometimes it doesn't, I feel faint, or I feel like, you know, falling over or something like that. That's because, usually, because your breath is restricted. So you should always breathe fully, and to breathe fully, you let the breath come down to the ahara. So inhaling is expanding the ahara, exhaling is contracting, and it's all here. It's like a saw. When you saw a piece of wood, you don't watch the end of the saw going back and forth. You just watch where the saw and the wood meet, and you watch the cut get deeper. So it's the same thing with the breath. You don't watch the breath coming all the way up and going all the way down. You just watch the pay attention to the rising and falling of your lower abdomen. And if you want to, if you don't, can't access it that way, then you can take some deep breaths. And it's a good thing to do that at the beginning of zazen. Like, you put your hands like this, and you go, through your mouth. And expand this, like a rubber tire around your waist. Inner tube. And you don't have to make that sound. I'm only doing that for drama. Silently. And then feel your back and your front meeting when you exhale. Let it all out. And then, so that primes your breathing. And then you just breathe through your nose after two or three times. Big breaths. But it's here. And then when you lose this and you can't quite get it again, you're breathing up here, do that again. Just to prime. So you're always breathing here. That's imperative for zazen. Breathing up here, shallow breathing. No. Because zazen is functioning fully. If you're not functioning fully in zazen, then there's something wrong. Because the posture should be fully functioning, and the breath should be fully functioning. There shouldn't be any partiality. This gives you the opportunity to totally free yourself from your conditioning. And to totally free yourself from your conditioning, you take an unconditioned posture, and you breathe unconditioned breathing. Just let the breath be free, rather than constricted by emotion, thought. That's why we don't, you know, pay attention to thinking in zazen. You just let the breath be free from thought. Thought controls, you know, everything, and emotions control everything. So we call it emotion thought, which we just let go of. Of course, it's there, and then we let go. And then it rises, and we let it go over and over again. So we free ourselves from that conditioning and just let ourselves have that unconditioned existence.
Ask me a question. Thank you. We talk- talk about Zazen off the cushion and how to practice that. Yes. We're off the cushion 23 or so hours a day, and short of, say, waiting in line at the Berkeley Bowl for the cashier, where you can actually pay really good attention to your posture and breathing, mm-hmm. most of our life is filled with an activity where our body may be bent. And can you give us some encouraging words about how to maintain Zazen posture and attitude when our body is not expressed in this particular form?
Yeah. So we express the sitting form as various activities. So always aware of your breath, no matter what you're doing. Walking, you're aware of the breath. Standing, you're aware of the breath. Working, you're aware of the breath. You know, it's not like you are always focused on the breath, but you always know where the breath is. You're working in the kitchen and you're chopping things and you're cooking and all this. And it's very interesting, you know. I from time to time I talk about this, making a sandwich. You think about all the activities, all the movements that go into making, say, an avocado sandwich. I'll use vegan terms. Not a turkey sandwich. An avocado. So you have bread, and so you take the bread, and you have to slice it. It may be sliced already. If it's sliced, you're opening the package. You're standing, you're opening the package, you're taking off the twisty or whatever, and you're taking two slices of bread out and you're putting them on the breadboard. Right? And then you go and you turn around and you walk over to the refrigerator and you open the refrigerator and then you take out, I'll tell you what I do, take out the mustard, you take out the lettuce, you take out the tomato,
the turkey.
And then you close the refrigerator, and then you walk back, and you get a knife, and you open the jar of mustard, and you put it on the bread, and then you put it down, and then you take the avocado, and you take out the knife, and you take out the little pit at the end, and then you slice it, and then you open it, and then you put it down, put one side down, and you take the other side, and you kind of slice it, or however you do it, you scoop it out, and then you scoop it onto the bread. Think about how many movements that is already, and you haven't even gotten there. Then you slice the tomato. Well, first of all, you go over to the table, and you get the salt. And then you go back to the refrigerator, oh yeah, I remember the lemon. And you get the lemon, and then you slice the lemon. Slice just enough off, you know, and then you squeeze it out there. And you put it down, and then you slice the tomato. You pick up the knife and you slice the tomato. And you put it on the avocado, and then you take the lettuce. You put it on top. There are all these little movements. I'm not even mentioning those other little movements, you know, that are micro movements which are involved. And so on and on and on. And this is our life, right? Is involved in each one of those movements. And so put to be aware of each one of those movements and careful and so forth. And at the same time you're breathing. So if you're anxious, your breath is up here. I've got to get to that sandwich, you eat it. Or you can pay attention to all your movements in a mindful way, and your breath is down here. And since your breath is down here, you have calmness of mind. And then all those minute actions become enjoyable rather than anxious, creating anxiety. So, and then you can sit down and put the other top, piece of bread on top, get out the pickles. So everything you're not aware of the breath particularly, because you're aware of all those activities. But somewhere in the back of your mind, or somewhere behind all that, or within all that, is your awareness of breathing. Because the rhythm of your activity is connected to the rhythm of your breath. And so all of our activity is connected to the rhythm of our breath. And that's how you practice when you're not sitting on the zafu. All the activities are connected to awareness of breath.
Last year, during practice period, during Sesshin, you were reading from Branching Streams, and you one day talked about, there's a section in there where Suzuki Roshi talks about an attitude or awareness in Zazen of all the parts of the body doing Zazen independently and together. Mm-hmm. Can you say one more about that?
Yes. Well, Zazen is called the great dynamic activity. In order for that to be, everything, all the parts of the body have to be totally involved. So, in this one act. So it's the samadhi of this one act. Ichikyo samai. It's called this one act samadhi, where the whole body mind is committed to this one activity of sitting up straight. So we scan the body during Zazen, because the body is always changing. You say, well, this is the right posture. You know, not just maintain this posture, but, you know, during 40 minutes, it's. And so you have to keep micromanaging. You have to keep reasserting your posture all the time, finding your posture all the time. So it's a continual finding of posture, continuously finding your posture. There's plenty to do in Zazen, you know. You only get bored when you lose that connection. So as long as you really pay attention to your back is straight to begin with, maybe, hopefully, but then start slumping, and then you have to keep on it, and then start slumping, oh yeah, and then your elbows, you know, shouldn't be tight against your body. You have to remember to let your wings free, the chicken wings.
What about the arms up?
Yeah, well, some people hold their arms up like this, but I think that's exaggerated. Just let them do. This is a circle. And so, in a circle, what creates the evenness of a circle is letting all the whole circle have even pressure all the way around. And so you let this circle have equal pressure all the way around. Then there's no feeling of the mudra getting tired or something like that, because it's just part of the circle. It has the same pressure as all the rest of the circle. So if you think that way, and I like keeping the mudra down, but if you hold it up, you know, there's a little area, if you hold it up a little bit more, then you can feel it in your lower back. Very interesting. If you move the mudra up about an inch from your lap or two, then you can feel that in your lower back. And that's nice, because when you feel your lower back moving forward, then you know your posture is good.
This is where my little favorite thing is that you've ever told us. the string on the top of the head is one.
Well, I've told you that a lot of times.
Yeah, I know. No. And that one I can do and still not be in good posture. And the string that makes the most difference for me is the one you attached right here onto the sternum. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I lift that, I use all my back muscles in the right way.
Yes.
And so that's the one I come back to.
Yes.
And everything falls into place.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yes. So I usually don't talk about the string, although sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Off your head?
The sternum, yeah.
But lifting the sternum, that's really important, because then you feel it in your back.
Everything does.
Yes. Everything falls into place when you lift up your sternum. But then everything, all the parts of your body are flexible because they're not doing anything. It's not like, not like that. Although, when I go around to straighten someone's posture, it's like that color. Honestly, I can't believe that people can sit like that for a long time because they must get very tired.
What do you expect, kind of just? What do you expect when you touch somebody's posture just for?
Well, they just move.
Yeah.
They just move.
Oh, you mean it.
So if you feel like you're just all one piece, then if I were to come and push you by the elbow, your whole body would go forward because it's just like a statue. It's not like a statue. If I push your elbow, just the elbow moves, because it's just hanging there. It's not attached. Everything, all the parts of your body are independent, totally independent. All the little parts of your fingers are independent. Otherwise, you couldn't do things like this. If your legs weren't independent, if the thigh bone and the femur and all those, and the toes and everything weren't independent, you couldn't walk. So all the parts of your body are independent, and you give them their independence. There's nothing, no tenseness in your body. This is, it's not exactly relaxed. If I say relaxed, then people go, oh yeah. But it's relaxed. It's not lax, but it's soft. Softness and flexibility. I'd rather talk about flexibility than relaxation. Flexibility, just like, you move flexibly. And that's what keeps you in shape. When your mind is loose and flexible, your body can be loose and flexible. So it's really how you, up to your attitude, to cultivate an attitude of soft mind. Soft mind doesn't mean mushy. It means flexible and not rigid. So, good posture is like a tree. The branches aren't doing anything. The tree is your vertebrae, right? And the branches are just hanging off the tree. And when the wind comes, they do this. That's zazen. And so you can sit for a long period of time this way. Because you're just flowing with the breeze. The arms are just free. If they're not, then we hold our, we think that we're supposed to hold our elbows tightly against our body, and that, I don't know why, but we do that way. I remember Katagiri used to say, you should hold your arms like out, as if you had an egg under each armpit. Sometimes, when we had Japanese teachers, they like to have raw egg in their rice for breakfast. And we used to serve raw eggs. And they put it in the rice, mix it in the rice, pretty good. But sometimes they didn't tell us it was a raw egg. But anyway, you should hold your arms like, as if that, not that you're doing something, it's just that you're not clutching your body with your elbows. So your hand is free. So Zazen posture looks so rigid, and yet it's so upright and flexible. It's actually quite natural. It's just that we're so used to being conditioned by our postures are so used to being conditioned by our mental activity and emotional activity that actually sitting up straight is not something that we're used to doing. It seems unnatural. But actually, it's just natural. It's just normal posture, which is not conditioned by the emotion thought. And so there's nothing holding it down, no covering, no thought covering, no emotional covering. So there's nothing holding it down, and so it can spring up. It's really interesting how our emotion thought conditions our postures and holds us down. And where's that? That's why we do, people these days do exaggerated things in order to find their freedom, like jumping off a bridge with a bungee cord. Right? You don't have to jump off a bridge with a bungee cord in order to find your freedom. Just as I said. Yes.
Thank you. Often you say just sit zazen, and sometimes I've heard you say, qualify that with sit zazen properly.
Yes.
And I've been concerned about if I'm doing it properly. Are there common pitfalls? How can I know that I'm doing it properly?
Yes. Well, here's how you know. When you sit zazen, you give yourself zazen instruction. So, and when you give yourself zazen instruction, you say, you bow the cushion, and you put yourself up on the cushion, sit down, and then you cross your legs one way or another, or however you do it, and then you put your hands this way, and you sway so that, to loosen yourself up, you know, let go of stiffness. So when you do this, you're actually relaxing your body. You're taking the strain off your joints. Because our joints get stiff. And you're letting go of the strain on your joints. You're shaking off the conditioning. And then you sit up straight. And the way that you know that you're sitting up straight, which is called proper, is that your nose lines up with your navel. That's straight. And so you have a way of knowing that you're sitting up straight because your nose is in line with your navel. Even though you can't see your navel, you know it's there. I hope. And then the other way is that your ears are in line with your shoulders. Oh, in order for my ears to be in line with my shoulders, I really have to sit up straight with my head not doing this. And that's the cord going from to the ceiling. My ears are in line with my shoulders, and my nose is in line with my navel. So those are the rules for sitting up straight. And then you put your hands in the mudra. Thumbs very lightly touching. And then you go. And then let your breath come down. Inhaling, exhaling, inhaling, exhaling. And then you let your mind follow your breath. And then thoughts come into your mind. a pass-through, because that's the nature of the mind. The nature of the mind is to think. So you don't want to stop the nature, you don't want to stop thinking. It's just that thinking is thinking. You're not thinking. As soon as you start taking up the thoughts, then you're thinking. As soon as you start elaborating, then you're thinking. But actually, just because there are thoughts doesn't mean you're thinking. So you're directing your thoughts to the posture and breathing, and to letting thoughts that are not associated with zazen to just kind of go. It's like riding in the train and you're looking out the window, and there are trees and farmhouses, and they're all, and then you get to the city, you know, and then you get to the station and buildings. But you just watch it, watch the scenery go by without jumping off the train. But you're just enjoying your posture and your breath. And so you have a sense of well-being, because there's nothing hindering you. You may have some discomfort. We always have discomfort. Mm-hmm. But if we don't attach to it, then it's just sensations. We have many sensations. We have sensations that we call happiness. We have sensations that we call joy, and we have sensations that we call ouch, or pain, or... And when we attach to those sensations, they become our jailer. So we put ourselves in prison by locking ourselves in. But we don't want to lock ourselves in. We just open the gate. And let ourselves out by not attaching. It's just a sensation. And we can make, you know, you can stick a pin in your hand, in your finger. You can stub your toe. And you can make a really big deal out of that. And you can call up all your friends and tell them how much it hurts. How much it's hindering. Or you can just let it go and never think about it again. It's great if you can just let it go and never think about it again. And surprisingly, it doesn't hurt you. So, but this is the trick, and it's not easy. For some people it's easier, but we have to bear it until we finally learn how to let things come and go without attachment. This is what Buddhism's about. That's zazen, it teaches us all about that. It teaches us all about non-attachment. And how to accept, how to be free within the difficulties of our life. But sitting in the chair, you know, you just, there's no way to say it should be this way or that way. We can always have suggestions of how it should be, but since it's an individual, it depends on how we, our bodies are doing it individually. We have to find it, you know, the best way we can. And I myself have experienced sitting in a chair, although you haven't seen that. One year when I was doing practice period Dasahara, my back was really painful whenever I would sit, really painful. So I got one of those little canvas chairs that don't have any legs. We have one. Mm-hmm.
Back deck.
It just sits on the floor. And so I put that on the time. I mean, Dr. Hara. And I just sat in that on my back and crossed my legs. And I could do that during Zazen. So that was my adaptation. So you have to find your adaptation. And it, however it works for you. If you're sitting in the cushion, then the ideal posture is easier to deal with, easier to do. But even then, you know, we always have to find our, we have to adjust to our body and its capabilities. So I always present the ideal, and then you know what the ideal is, and then you adjust yourself according to what's necessary for you. Some people always lean over, and you straighten them up, and they go back and say, and you straighten them up, and they go back and say, I mean, what can you do, you know? I do what I can for you, but then at some point you're who you are and you do how you do. And I don't want to go into any further than that. But to me, it's the balance between effort and ease. So, to exert the right kind of effort and at the same time to balance it out with the right kind of ease. So that you're always finding the balance. The balance is what is always going on. How do I find that balance between effort and ease? Between rising up and letting things fall, letting go, just like a tree. These are the roots, this is the crown, and the tree sways in the wind. But it all looks like this.